Let's record. There we go. Project Kitese. So I did this something similar 4 years ago in Touch and Intip. That wasn't on the internet. So let's see if anybody, I don't think anybody here was had that. But this week's Parsha is a long series of, is part of the long series of mitzvot. And if you look at the sort of structure of it, it's basically structured according to the Seder HaDibrot. Starts off in Akev with believing God, Anochi lo yelecha, and this is starts out with the laws of marriage, family life, the Isha Yifat Toar, the if you have multiple wives, who gets to be the Bachor, or correspond to this broad category within Sarah Dibrot of Lo Tinach. There's one mitzvah in the middle that I want to focus on, which is Ki Tivneh Bayit Chadash, when you build a new house, Basita Makel Gagecha, you need to put a railing around the roof. And you shouldn't have blood in your house. Keep pulling no family menu when someone falls off of your roof.
This does kind of mean that my bed intro for the baby was like an appropriate intro.
There you go. Right. Do not leave your babies in a place where they can fall either, because this is a very, I mean, it looks like a very specific law, strangely specific law, but this is really an archetype. It's a binyan av for safety codes. I think more in terms of Star Wars. In fact, they're always running on these narrow ledges without railings there. They don't have such a halacha in Star Wars universe. But this is the way the Gemara Baba Kama puts it, Rabbi Yata Omer, Minayin shel yigdal adam kelav ra. Person should not raise a vicious dog.
Talking.
I have a vicious dog. See if he barks. Okay, b'toch beito in his house, b'yamos sulam re'uah b'toch beito, and don't have a rotten, broken down ladder staircase in your house. How do you know that? Because tamlomer lo tasim don't allow there be blood in your house. That you need to be safe. It's not just about railings around the roof. Anything unsafe. Shulchan Aruch put it similarly: echad agag, whether it's around your roof, echad kol davar sheyesh bo sakana, anything that's potentially dangerous. That person may stumble and die. Don't you ita lo be'er, like if you had a well, a bore, or a cistern, a katzero in your yard. Ben sheyesh bo mayim, whether it's a swimming pool, ben she'ein bo mayim, or just a pit. Chayav lasot chuliyah gavoah yud tefachim. You have to have a boundary that's 10 tefachim. That's the code according to halacha, is 10 tefachim, which is about 35 inches, which your city code is 36 inches, so at least we agree on that. Pretty close.
It's close.
A re reasonable, you know, it's a human thing. That's a reasonable railing height. Ola sopa kisui, or you put a cover over your pit, your swimming pool. Yipo ba'adam, most of which should fall into it and die. Don't do that. Okay, kol michshol, and anything that one might stumble over, sheish bo sakana pashot, that it's dangerous. Mitzvah asel hasiro. You need It's a mitzvah to get rid of it. Anything dangerous, leave some merry menu and be careful about such things. He's there, davar, yafan. Be very careful about this. Like there's a mitzvah on you. Be careful about your life. Stay safe. Bimlo he's here. And if you don't take a, if you don't remove the danger, and you leave in your possession something that is dangerous. Bitel mitzvah say you've lost this mitzvah say of Shemar Nafcha, well, over below Tasim Damim, you're over on this mitzvah of our parsha of Ma'akev railing. And again, that's a metaphoric sense. And the Shulchan Aruch continues about the dog thing. Asur l'gadel kelav ra, and I keep bringing this up because we have a dog. You cannot raise a literally a bad dog, a vicious animal, biter. Unless it's tied up in a leash. So, if you're allowing you to do that, you're in a situation where you need to have guard dogs, but can make sure they're leashed. But shalshot shel barzel with iron chains, kashur behem, and that's be well tied up with these things, keep it tied up. Uva iras muchala safar, but if you're in a boundary, in a border city, mutar legad lov kashur bebyom, where you need your guard dog, you tie him up during the day, matiro balayla, let them out at night. Your vicious dog. Because you're raising it for a purpose. That's a Shulchan Aruch. And I'm trying to find the English term for this. Is this the right legal term? Do care that you're responsible to do?
Oh,
the
I was
legal
thinking,
term?
I was just thinking, I think premises liability comes to my mind.
What's the term for doing the right thing? Like,
yeah,
I have
due
to
care is good.
have X, right? To say if I don't have due care, that I am potentially negligent in a tort, right? I don't know if that's, is that the right term that we should be using
it
here?
is. It's the right term.
So that's the halakha says that due care and within my own property.
But
okay?
You also could, you could fulfill that by warning. If you have a warning sign, that also ticks you off.
I think
the
that
hook.
Depends on the situation. Like having a warning, like at least under U.S. law, I think having a warning sign in your swimming pool is not enough because the kids are going to
But
jump into it
beware
anyway.
of dog. Beware of dog.
Might be enough.
Maybe. Anyway,
So I think that's true. That's the
situation.
Wait a minute. The warning is for things that are inherently dangerous. That's what it, how it goes.
Correct.
Well, I had a situation at Covenant House, and when I first got there, in the employee handbook, it said, "Don't store valuable belongings in your car because the parking lot is not guarded." You know, something like that. To basically minimize Covenant House's responsibility.
Okay.
You know, fast forward, I get a lawyer who deals with employee issues, and he's reviewing the handbook, and he says, "Take that out." I said, "Why? It's always been there." And he says, "Because the fact that you're putting in your employee handbook shows that you know you have a problem on your parking lot. And if something happens to somebody's belonging or who knows what, they can still come back and see you saying you had a problem. So instead of doing something about it,
you shows you know about it."
Right. But certainly the halakha as presented is that you need to imlo hisir v'niach ha-mishkolot, right? If you didn't take them out, right? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say you put a warning sign up. It says you got to remove the danger.
Right.
Whether that's a stabby halakhic question, you could ask that to your local Orthodox rabbi in a situation where halakha is determining civil codes, which I don't think we're at that point, but presumably that would be a reasonable question. Okay, but the Tosek says, "Lo tasim damim b'veitecha, ki yipol p'nofel mimenu." So what that means is, implies that there will be no blood. There is no liability if you've done this. Ki yipol, when the faller falls. In other words, you put up an appropriate railing, you did the appropriate thing, you did your due care, then something tragic happens. You're not liable for that. You've done what you needed to do.
That's the prolepsis key.
That's not the prolepsis. It's not the prolepsis yet. This is looking at John this, okay? And there's a side note about the caliber of the dog thing, because I thought this was interesting. There goes my dog. Okay, is that Rashi evidently disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that you can't raise a vicious dog unless you keep it chained up. Rashi, looking at the Gemara about dangers and things like that, quotes the Gemara that says, mam matinan le. That if you don't get rid of your dangerous situation, then they put you in chayrim. Right? You're shunned. That's the only punishment available in the halacha to someone who violates that law, besides being them. But you can put someone in chayrim if they don't put a failure railing around their fence, around their roof, rather. So mashmin leila mezik, that the one who's causing the damage is put in chayrim, is shunned. Mia. So therefore, leharog oto akelev. You have to kill the dog. You can't raise a dangerous dog, period. Well, say because they can't get rid of that. Chaining it up is not enough. And the Torah Tamima on this points out that this seems right, that the Shulchan Aruch Rambam hold that you can have your dangerous dog, just keep it chained, fenced, whatever. And Rashi says, no, it's inherently dangerous. You can't have such a thing at all. And he says, yesh lavi, smach raya, v'data Rambam. So I have a little bit of a proof to the Rambam's opinion, which is what the Shulchan Aruch brings, that you can keep him chained up. You can raise such a dog from the Mishnah in Darim, which is discussing, if I'm taking a neder, I make a vow with conditions on it. So konam lebayit desh eni nechnas. I vow as a neder, full religious force, that I will never go into this particular house, shekelav rabatocha, that has this vicious dog in it, osha nachash betocha, or there's a snake in this house. Okay? It's more than deciding you're not going to go into it, you take a neder. Amrulo, and then you find out, they tell you, meta kelav, the dog has died, osha nevra nachash, the snake has been killed, then mutar, the halacha is that even though it's not worded as a tanai as a condition, clearly it's meant as a condition. I will not enter this house because there's a vicious dog in there. And if the dog dies, then I'll be okay to go in the house. So you're allowed to go in there. The neder is over. That's straightforward. But he says, divrei chachamim nemarim b'diyuk nemras. That the chachamim are very specific here. That says the dog died. Haino mita atzmi, just died by itself. V'nachash hariga, where the snake is killed. V'haino mefresh karambam. So that's what it implies, it agrees with the Rambam, says that you're allowed to keep the dog around because what the Mishnah assumes happened is that the dog died. Because dogs eventually die, not that you had to actually kill the dog. So that Rashi Habelomar Gamba Kelab Nehara. So the halacha is you can, I don't know how you extend that to other situations. You can raise your vicious dog as long as you keep it leashed and under control. You can have a dangerous situation in your house as long as you've done whatever due care to make sure that other people aren't harmed by it. That's a side. I thought that was an interesting note about the dog part. So if you're a dog person. But there was, I did see an article that there was a community in Israel where the city council banned all dogs. That because all dogs are inherently bad, because people are scared of them. So every dog counts as a kelav ra.
Oh.
So we're not moving to that particular community. that's fine. I mentioned the other version. Here we go. The city of Eldad near Tel Aviv. It's an edict declaring all dogs bad. And if you own a dog, you're accursed. So, not like the Shulchan Aruch. But I want to focus on a different issue. The Pasuk says, right, Lotasim damim beveitecha ki pol hanofel mimenu, that you will not, do not place, have blood in your house, be liable, when the faller falls. Grammatical issue.
It's not when, it's
or if.
Because he's bound to fall. A faller is bound to fall.
Ah, that's the point.
That's a proleptic.
That's proleptic, because the guy hasn't fallen proleptic yet. Okay? Oh. The faller falls. So Ibn Ezra says that, no fail, nikral shem so fall. Fall that because of what will happen, right?
Oh.
Have it so that this person who will fall doesn't fall there. The faller. Again, that's the proleptic use of the word, that it's al shem so far, that eventually he's going to fall, so we call him a fall. And again, it's some examples where it talks about putting him in death, al pishnayim edim, al shosh edim, yumat hamet. Right? The dead person will be put to death. That's a joke about what do you put in a toaster? You don't put toast in a toaster, you put bread in a toaster. Oh. Right? You don't put a dead person to death. Right? A mate is not yumat, but al shem so far.
We call not it dead that yet.
Yeah, right. And similarly by Rivka, by Yerushasuha, Banim Bekirba, right? That the boys were struggling within her, that they weren't Banim at that point. They were still fetuses. We call Banim Al Shem Sofa. That's Ibn Ezra's point. Umila, Rabo, Le'en Mispar, their infinite number example is this, Nikro Al Shem Sofa. We call it that. Because of the end of year, and that is called prolepsis, which is anticipation, representation, or assumption of future act or development as though it presently existed or accomplished. That's the word here. Then he adds, lo noda im kein derech lashon. It's not clear whether this is just grammatical, this way the language works, o divrei nevuah. Or is it some kind of looking at this, foretelling the future by saying this?
Oh.
Okay, and clearly we do it in English. So prolepsis is not a example of nevuah here. It simply is a grammatical way of saying words. I don't need to say so that the one who might fall, if he actually falls down, doesn't actually fall. I just say, so the guy who falls doesn't fall. That's how I do it. And I like this because the classic source of this that's quoted by the Oxford English Dictionary is from the ancient myth of Ghostbusters. Yeah. Okay, this is the original, not the, we do not mention the new remake of Ghostbusters, 1983. So it quotes the this film script from 1983, Bankman. Okay, that's it. I'm gonna turn this guy into toast. That's the script. And this is actually, you have to do this with a British accent, okay? This is the Oxford English Dictionary. The lines in quotation in 1983 do not in fact appear in the US film Ghostbusters as released in 1985, since a considerable amount of the dialogue is ad-libbed. The actual words spoken by Venkman, played by Bill Murray, as he prepares to fire a laser-type weapon, we need to explain this in great detail, are, "This chick is toast." Now, I'm gonna turn this guy. This is probably the origin of the proleptic construction, which has gained particular currency.
It's so funny.
If you say, okay, we're toast, that's proleptic use, because we're not toast yet. Right?
Oh.
He hasn't fired the gun at the ghost in there. When you say is, that is proleptic. Okay, so that is no fell is the proleptic use of the word, which is as grammatical form is fine. It offers this other idea. We call it, maybe it's divrei nevuah. Right? Torah telling you this person will fall. And in fact, Rashi takes exactly that approach. Not a grammatical use, but this is a Torah telling us something. Rashi says, ki nevo nofel, when the faller falls, ro'oy zel lipol. This person was destined to fall. God wants him to fall. But afal pikein, even though that's true, lo tigalgel mitatol yadcha, don't cause his death. Shemagalgin zechura de zakai, because Hashem will arrange it that if he's going to fall to his death, God wants it to happen, it will happen. But it will happen that Hashem will allow good things to happen to those who are zoche and chova de chayav. So if you violate this law, you will be the reason for the person's falling. It's a theological.
It's like a paro idea, right? The paro, free choice, well.
Right, that is very similar, yeah? That, you know, yeah. That's, okay, that Bnei Israel are gonna be slaves. That's right. The nevuah. It wasn't your job to enslave them.
Right.
Right, so that's right, okay? And the Gemara puts it more strongly, when it says, ki po nofel, ro'oy zeh lipo mishesheh mei bereshit.
Wow.
Okay, that even this person is destined from the moment, this person, the whole point of existing was for this person to fall to their death. He hasn't fallen yet, they still call him the nofel. Okay, you should name Zakai. Don't be the cause of his death. Right?
That's big. It's talking about preordained events and
right. So even but the main point is that you can't use that as an excuse.
Right.
Right? That if you don't build the code, you're liable. And you can't, that's the shot we said before, but that there's no defense to say, well, obviously God wanted him to fall. If God didn't want this person to fall, then he wouldn't have fallen at all, even without a railing. That's not a defense. Okay, you can't say, you know, God obviously wanted it to happen. I'm not going to argue with him. Okay, and that's
even with a railing, he would have fallen even with a railing.
Yeah, but so Hashem is saying, if you make the railing, right, then you're not chayav religiously. You have done your due care. You have done your hishtadlut. And you're right, sometimes tragedies happen that doesn't take away from your responsibility. You need to do that. Okay, because this is a profound theological point in every mitzvah ben Adam l'chavero. Okay? Mitzvah ben Adam l'chavero do not involve God. You can never say God wants it that way. Therefore, I don't do anything because God created the world imperfect. That's the Jewish attitude. Your job is to show Hashem that Hashem, you got it wrong. I'm gonna correct this. There's a wonderful story about the Baal Shem Tov. I don't know if you've heard that. Show a little bit about the best. They asked about Baal Shem Tov. So, Ha Dilta B'chulin Kufte. The Gemara in Chulin says the following. Koma Da'asar Shari Kenegdo. The Gemara in Chulin is talking about kosher. And the statement that everything that's not kosher, you can find something that's kosher that tastes like it. Someone's going to invent impossible burgers or We just found this great, actually not great, but very good feta and cheddar cheese that's par, made out of potato starch. Gemara says that don't worry about missing something, some kind of food, because it's not kosher. There will be something that will be okay. That's the Gemara. So they asked the Baal Shem Tov.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I understand the concept, right? That you have faith. But they asked the Baal Shem Tov, okay, so everything that's usur, there is a shari, there's something that's mutar that corresponding to it. So you can actually have a little taste of bacon or pork or whatever it is, and it'll taste close enough. You'll have your baked crab, whatever that is. So the question was, Be'eza ofen mutar kefira. I want to experience heresy. I want to be a heretic. How can I be a heretic? I'm just, you know, all these free thinkers out there, I know I'm a good chassid here, but I want to try it. And the Gemara says that there's going to be something mutter that I can do, right? Let me taste kefira. And the answer is b'tzedakah. Give tzedakah. The lo tomar la'ani. You can't tell a poor person. She had lo bitachon, vada yazor Hashem. Can't say, have faith, God, you know, God will save you. God wants you this way. I'm not going to change it. Rak tia kofer b'otashai. At the moment you're giving tzedakah, you have to deny that God exists. Deny that God's going to be involved in the world. Your Bein and the Kavara has to deny, has to be a taste of kefira. And you have to do what you can. That's the key nofel. Even though the nofel is destined to fall, you still have to try to stop it. That's your responsibility. So anybody wants to be a heretic, go ahead and do that and give more tzedakah. You'll show God run what's up. So then I'm going to finish up with the idea of why the mitzvah here. The context is the laws of family life, marriage, parenting. You know, this doesn't seem to have anything to do with that. And the immediate prior mitzvah, the paragraph beforehand, is the mitzvah of Shulach HaKen, about sending away the mother bird, which really teaches us something about, again, mother child relationship, animals, and all that. But get that context. So that's the mitzvah. We know the mitzvah. You see a nest in front of you, baderech on the way, b'chol etz in a tree, ola aretz on the ground, efrochim beitzim with chicks or with eggs, emro betzad al efrochim al beitzim, and the mother's nesting is sitting on the chicks of the eggs. Lotikacha ema al banim. Don't take the mother along with the children. Shalech to the shalech at the aim. Send away the mother bird, but tabarim tikachlok, and then you can take the eggs for yourself. The ma'itav lachav arachta yamin, and things will be good, and you will live long. That's the mitzvah. Next paragraph is kitivne ba'et chadash. If you build a house, you have to put a makeh.
Wait, not the next. Then come all the family things. Then
the mitzvah right after Ken Sipur is kitivne ba'et chadash.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, before that, we have all the family thing that leads up to it. And we have the whole Ben Sarar Moreh, halachas, and not hanging them. And, you know, we have this sort of sequence of, you know, if you do take an Eshet Yifo Tawar, then you're going to have a hated wife. You're going to end up with a rebellious son, and they're going to be hanging all. There's a sequence.
Oh, then Shiluach HaKan.
Then Shiluach HaKan, and then the Makeh.
Okay.
Yeah. So Rashi says, you know, the whole point is that ki tivne bayit chadash means you have a bayit chadash. You got a new house. That's your reward for all these other mitzvot. You can do the family.
That's another prolepsis. No, that's not a prolepsis. No.
When you build a new house, no.
No. So it's not foreseeing that something will happen. It's using a word as if it already happened.
That's prolepsis.
Yeah.
It's using a word as though it already happened.
Right.
So ki tivne bayit chadash, if you build a new house, as Rashi says it, in kiyamta mitzvah shulach haken, if you've done this mitzvah here of sending away the bird, tovchel livnot bayit chadash. You'll have part of your reward is you'll be able to build your new house, tovchel mitzvah makeh, and you'll have the opportunity to build the railing, she mitzvah gerer mitzvah, because one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, and then you get kerem musadel, begadim na'im, that's the next mitzvah there. Kach nismuchu parshiot elal, plus they're all rewards for all one mitzvah. The problem is that's not very specific. But any mitzvah has exactly the same order there. Why this? Why makkah?
Right.
So it's a little bit weak on the Rashi. Not for me to criticize Rashi. But I'm going to look at Torah Tumim again. And this was from the Tosef Bracha, the same sefer I referred to last time, kind of the Baruch Levi Epstein's later compilation of comments after the Torah, he wrote the Torah Tumim. So he says, you know, there's a danger in doing Shulach HaKeh. Because it says, L'man yitavacha v'arachta yamim. God promised you, you're going to live long. So you may take it as a promise, right? I'm not going to worry about my safety anymore. Why should we have a makkah? I already did a mitzvah that Hashem promised me I'm going to live a long time. Or worse than that, I'll think, I'm safe. I'm not going to have to worry about anybody else. That mitzvah is go rare in arrogance, as it were. So that's what he says. Al pizeh. Yuvan lama lokatia pin tipok. So it says here the mitzvah. It doesn't say when you build a new house, but asita malka gecha, you'll make a railing around your roof. Votisim damim vetecha ki tipol mimena, that you shouldn't fall. Not there necessarily protect you, it's protect others. Because in this case, go back over here. Benochach, you don't say it in second person. I'm not, the Torah is saying, don't put a railing to protect yourself. Kamo kitivne vasita, where it says in second person, because you know, you've truly fulfilled this mitzvah of Shulach HaKeh, and you say, I don't have to worry, God's protecting me. Okay, and lama nismach din zel mitzvah Shulach HaKeh, that's why it's connected. And I could say, In this case, for the reason for this connection, that person who's fulfilled the mitzvah, when he builds a house, I don't have to worry about falling. Because in that mitzvah says, you'll live for a long time. My God promised, I have faith in God, you're going to protect me. So therefore, I don't have to build. No, that's not how it works. That's why Pasuk says, even if you don't feel you need it. Somebody else may fall. You have to care about other people. You can't be where Rabbi Sachs called a tzaddik in pelts. I'm a great tzaddik, God's protect me. I'm done here. The rest of you, if you're sinners, then God's going to punish you. I'm not going to try to protect you.
What was Rabbi Sachs's term?
A tzaddik in pelts.
In what?
In pelts, literally in fur. It says that if you're, right, if it's cold, you can do two things. You can put on a fur coat or light a fire. Putting on a fur coat just warms you. Lighting a fire warms everybody else.
Oh.
Okay.
Tell me that word again. I'm not hearing it. It's tzaddik
in pelts, like pelt, like a skin of an animal.
Pelt.
P-E-L-T is the English word. Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Okay. A tzaddik in pelt. What a funny term.
It's Chabad. Here.
Oh.
Because Rabbi Miller, the Kutzker, as referring to a certain rabbi as a tzaddik in pelts.
Pelts.
Right. Presumably that's Yiddish for the same thing.
Oh.
A righteous person in a fur coat. When it's winter and freezing, there are two things you can do. One is build a fire, or you can run wrapped in a fur coat. You can get warm. Okay. You're tzaddik, you warrant that. That's the danger of Shulach HaKeh. That's what Makkah says, as he says. About right? This person deserves to fall. You can't say, well, God's gonna take care, right? God's gonna take care of him, he's gonna do it. Or is Zebekla Lotasim Damim Betecha, because that would be having Damim Betecha, you are liable for that. You can't rely on your own Sidkut, you have to care about other people. And that's the lesson of Hippo and Ophel Mimena. That don't be as raiders. Don't be a tzaddik in pelts. Don't just make your, you know, don't be such a great tzaddik and just warm. And okay, so I'm a tzaddik. I have my own coat. I'm going to be warm. Everyone else will freeze. That's not my problem. They should also be tzaddikim too, and they'll get their own coats. That's the wrong attitude.
Nice. Good.
And I will stop here.
Whole Hanof fail. Right.